our scripture reading, and we're going to look once again at the Beatitudes. We've looked at what it means to be poor in spirit and what it means to mourn, but today we're going to look at what it means to be meek, and we pray that God would bless the reading of His Word and enlighten us in the truth, but also in the preaching of the Word. This time, I think I'm just going to read all the Beatitudes. It was a suggestion that was given to me, so you get the full context. Okay, so we're going to start in chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, He went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thus ends our scripture lesson, and we want to consider specifically the meek. We want to look at the idea of the meek, not the weak. So as I looked at this beatitude, I thought to myself something interesting. As we look out in our society today, we often see in our society those who are superheroes. We see society puts forth these paragons of power, these people who are great in strength. And we often say to ourselves in this day and age, only the strong survive. There is a survival of the fittest. And I think when somebody hears that the meek are blessed and they're going to inherit the earth, people look twice at you like you're crazy. You see, the society that we live in considers those who are meek to be weak. And the scriptures gives us a different picture. As we look at Christ, as we look at others who are meek, they were not weak. And for instance, call your mind back to the time of David. We're going to look at David before he was a king. Do you remember David as he goes out to his brothers and there's the king there at the battlefront? There's the giant that calls out to the armies of God every day. This giant is Goliath. He's a massive man. And all these men that were there at the battlefront were afraid of Goliath, the Philistine. Yet, here's this young boy who was willing to go and fight this giant man. Many looked at him and said, "How is this kid going to take down this big giant man?" But even though he might have been scrawny, even though he might have been just this one who takes care of animals, he had an inward strength. That inward strength came because he recognized that God was in control, that God was with his people. And as we'll look at Psalm 37, he was one who would not fret because the Lord is in control. And so he went up to that giant and he said, "How dare you defy the armies of the Lord?" And here's a kid who didn't have any armor but a slingshot and was able to defeat the giant. Do you see how strong we are as those who are meek in the Lord? So we see that we should not, like our society, equate weakness with the meek. And so our God calls us to rearrange our perspective on what it means to be meek today, and specifically want to look at this point. God promises and grants the earth to you who have become meek by His grace. God promises and grants the earth to you who have become meek by His grace. That's the point we want to consider. And so we first want to consider what it means to be those who are blessed and meek. God, as we see here, blesses those who are meek. So we want to consider what this means. And to understand what it means to be meek, we must first understand what it isn't. We want to take a look at just what I said, that it's not equated with weakness. And I want to dwell on this a little further than I did in the opening. Like I said before, Jesus does not say, "Blessed are the weak." He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And we know that society will look at us like we're crazy. They'll laugh and say, "How can meek people inherit the earth? Only the strong survive, survival of the fittest." But these people don't understand that people who are meek have a backbone. They consider people who are meek to have no backbone. They consider meek people to be those who will roll over as a doormat and take the blow of criticism or whatever is being dished out against them. That's what society thinks. That we're just going to lay over and be run over by their words or their physical actions to oppress us. But that's not what the Lord is talking about here. But we want to see what is true meekness. And it's interesting, as you look at this word in the Greek, you'll find out the origin of it's quite interesting. I didn't realize this when I was looking at it, but I looked it up in the lexicon, and really the word was used for gentling or breaking a wild horse to be harnessed. The picture here is a wild horse out there in the open range, and someone comes to break it down so it can be useful. It's quite interesting to see that picture. And what comes to my mind immediately is a movie called Far and Away. I don't know if you've seen this movie, but Tom Cruise stars in it with his ex-wife, Nicole Kidman. And they grew up in Ireland. Nicole Kidman was born to a land-owning class family. And she wanted to escape, and she escaped along with Tom Cruise as a peasant boy to come over to the United States in order to get a piece of land that people were giving away for free out in the Midwest. And so, to make a long story short, eventually both of them get there. And Tom Cruise is out there, and he realizes he needs to get a horse to take a place in this great land race. And so he goes to the horse dealer, and there were only two horses left. There's this wild horse that's bucking the corral, and then there's this other old horse that was obviously broken, and he got swindled into buying the old horse. Shortly after he bought this horse, it died. He went to go to the bar to get something to drink, and he came outside, and there was the horse laying dead on the ground. So the next day, the race is upon them, and he realized he doesn't have a horse, so he goes back to the guy and said, "You swindled me." And he wound up having to buy another horse. He bought the wild bronco there in the corral, and he brought it to the line to race to go get a stake of land. And sure enough, he fell off the horse because it was wild. And what does he do? He gets up and pulls the horse by the reins and slugs it. And sure enough, it was broken. Well, God slugs us with the Holy Spirit, and He causes us to be broken, doesn't He? You see, in Adam, and in Adam, we are wild and rebellious sinners, aren't we? We walk according to the beat of our own drum. We don't want to obey the Lord as He created us to be. But we see, by faith in Christ, Dr. Rush Dooney says this: we are strong ones who have been broken to harness, gentled by the Lord and His Spirit, and made fit for the Lord's use. Do you see who the meek really are as Jesus describes them to be? It's those who have been broken of their rebellion. We've seen that these people are poor in spirit. They realize that they are bankrupt before God with no righteousness of their own. But they also see the sin of the world. They see their own sin and they don't dismiss it. They acknowledge it and it grieves them because it's an offense to God. But also these people who are meek, being humbled by God, they recognize their deep dependency upon God. They realize their deep dependency upon God and seek to live for God, even if it means facing opposition. That's who the meek are. You see, like that bridled horse, we become useful to God. That's what the broken person realizes that he is created for. They are to be used by God, and even if it means facing persecution. That's what the meek person looks like. But let's take a look at this further. Does Scripture give us any kind of models for those who are meek? Well, we've taken a look at a few people already, but let's go right to the master teacher. Let's not waste any time. Jesus himself was described as one who is meek and mild, right? You might say, yeah, that is the case. That's true. And you can think of Jesus himself as he left glory. He left the place where he was with his Father, and he took upon flesh. He was made under the law for a time, and he suffered in place of you and me. He bore our sins. And how did he bear our sins? He bore our sins without even trying to defend himself. As a sheep was silent before her shearers, Jesus went before his persecutors silently. Do you see how Jesus was meek? But does that mean he was weak? Is Jesus a weak man in his meekness? No, because that's not what it means to be meek. Think about what Jesus did when people were making his Father's house a den of robbers. Remember how he took that whip and drove the money changers out? You see, Jesus was meek, but he was not weak. Jesus was a strong man, and he stood up for what God had stated in his Scriptures. He came to do his Father's will. We are to follow in that same example. We are to be those who follow after Christ, delighting in the will of God, being humbled before him, and having that inward strength to serve him even in the face of opposition. You see, it's not going to be easy to do the will of God, is it? We live in a society that wants to walk according to the beat of their own drum. They're still in Adam. If we're in Christ, we're going to suffer the same way. People are not going to like us when we shed our light upon them. And so it's going to be difficult. But we must follow after our Lord. And we see here that the meek are blessed. So we've considered that first, that God blesses you who are meek. But secondly, we want to consider the reason why the meek are blessed. Just look back at our text. It states for us the reason right here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the reason for the blessing. Now we must understand the context of this to get the blessing. Do you remember who's speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus is the speaker. We've looked at this text before and what came prior to it. Remember, Jesus is the coming King. He's the one that was foretold in the Old Testament. And he comes to preach the message of the kingdom. If you look back at chapter 4, look at the message that he preaches. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then in verse 23 in chapter 4, he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And we see that the miracles testify to the fact that here is the King, here is the One. And he comes to talk about the blessings of those who receive this kingdom. And we see in the Beatitudes that this kingdom in its nature is spiritual. Remember what we looked at in the first Beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is a spiritual kingdom. But the problem with most people who interpret this Scripture is they think that this kingdom is just spiritual. That has nothing to do with the physical world. Well, this is not what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to proclaim. The physical is obviously included in this spiritual kingdom. Remember, Jesus himself came in the flesh. He thought it was important to redeem not just the souls of mankind, but the whole of man, both body and soul. Remember, he came to this earth. He came to redeem us who are also body and soul. And we look at our own beatitude that we're looking at today. And what does it say? For they shall inherit the earth. So the physical is caught up with the spiritual. And so we want to keep that in mind. And we want to realize that what Jesus Christ is talking about here is the extent of his kingdom. You see, here's the king talking about his kingdom. He is telling us the extent of his kingdom. And to really grasp this, we want to make sure that we understand what came before so we can understand the rich blessing of the kingdom of God. Do you remember what God had promised to Abraham? The name says it all, doesn't it? You're going to be the father of many nations. All nations would be blessed through him. And we see this promise expanded on further throughout the scripture. We can go to a number of different texts, but I just want to call your attention to just a couple, or a few, I should say. Isaiah 11. Notice what the prophet says here. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. And it happens in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. We had someone request earlier Psalm 2. Jesus Christ is the one who inherits the nations, isn't he? He's the one who comes and dies on the cross. And what does the Father give him? Psalm 2 says it very plainly to us. He comes and the Father gives him the nations as his inheritance. And we see further in Psalm 22, that great Psalm of the cross, that Jesus Christ not only dies, but then he lives and reigns. And what happens in Psalm 22:11? All ends of earth remembering him. He is going to draw people to himself, just as Jesus himself said in John 12, that he would be lifted up and draw all people to himself. But how would he do this? Well, the great and glorious commission, right? He tells us to go ye and make disciples of all nations. Do you see the extent of the blessedness of the kingdom that Jesus inherits the whole earth? We've been talking a lot about this idea of being in Christ, haven't we? Pastor Martin was talking to the session the other night about a book that Ted Donnelly put out. This book focuses on being in Christ. You see, if you believe in Christ, you are in him. You believe into Jesus Christ. You are one with him. Just as you partake of the communion, you are one body. You are one flesh with Christ. And therefore, if Christ is an inheritor of the nations, you are as well. You are in Christ. You are co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Think of what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. He tells us that we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That's a picture of reigning. And you could even look at the book of Revelation. During this time period of the millennium, when Christ comes, and then when he'll come again, we see that the saints are reigning, that there's the thrones in Revelation 20. You see, the people of God are reigning with Christ. And it's through the people of God that his reign or his rule will be extended throughout the whole earth. Many people will come from nations to be blessed by our God. That's the extent of his kingdom, and we are co-heirs of it. But lest we should say the only blessing is here in this world now, we would be mistaken, wouldn't we? Look at our text. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Notice that it's future here. You see, the gospel is going to go forth to all nations. We are heirs of this earth. But you know what? We are also heirs of the new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. That is the fulfillment of this promise. You see, when we bury people in the ground, when they die, their body goes into the ground. You know why people have done that? Because they're going to inherit the earth. You see, a lot of people look today and say, my fullest blessing is in heaven.
I need to think about heaven and forsake this earth. There's no blessing here. There's only sin and death.
But friends, we would be wrong if we took that track. Yes, heaven is glorious. Yes, it is going to be awesome to be with God. But understand that the complete fullness of this blessing we read about here is in the new heavens and new earth. What happens when Jesus Christ comes again? He gathers out of the earth those who are wicked. He takes away not the wheat, but the tares. This is what we're inheriting. This is the fullness of that blessing. And that's why it is a blessing. And so I ask you, are you co-heirs with Christ today? Have you come to be in Christ? Have you believed in Him? And if you have, do you know the glorious promise that He has given to you who are meek? You are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are seated with Him in high places now. You are ruling over this great time period until He'll come again to judge the living and the dead. And you have a stake in this new earth that will be renewed. Do you see the blessing that is yours in Christ? And this only comes by believing in the Son, who is inheritor of all, who will come and judge the living and the dead. Do you see the strength of that? Do you see the glorious promises in those who are meek? We are surely not weak because we have the Lord who has been given all authority in heaven and earth on our side. He is our God. He will never forsake us. As He said Himself, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." See, we have the Lord on our side. Therefore, weakness is not to be equated with meekness. And so I say to you, as I said at the beginning, that God promises and grants the earth to you who have become meek by His grace. God promises and grants the earth to you who have become meek by His grace in Christ. Blessed are you, brothers and sisters, who have been gentled, who have been broken by the grace of God. Have you experienced this brokenness? Have you become spiritually poor and mourn over your sins and the sins of the world? May God bless us as we are inheritors of the earth. And so let's sing about that as Jesus Himself quotes from this text, as we see in the scriptures, Psalm 37b. Pops up a few times. Notice in stanza 8 here. The meek and humble of the land inheritors shall be, and they shall then delight themselves in full prosperity. The wicked plots against the just and grinds his teeth in wrath, because he sees his day will come. The Lord at him shall laugh. And so we see here the doom of those who are wicked, but we see that the blessed ones, those who are meek, inherit the earth or the land. Let us sing praise to our God as we stand and sing Psalm 37b.
Shall not be his place. shalt consider well, but him thou shalt.